Quick question. Are you feeling overwhelmed as you plan and prepare for your birth, postpartum, and baby? I know how much pregnancy can just feel like one endless to-do list. And as someone who isn't a natural planner and organizer by nature, it can be a lot. That is why I'm so excited today to talk to you about the brand new Mommy Labor Nurse Pregnancy Planner. Yeah, my team and I have spent hundreds of hours behind the scenes creating this just for you. And truthfully, Planner barely scratches the surface of everything packed inside this incredible resource. In addition to being an organizational tool, it will also serve as a journal, a guide, a source of info, a scrapbook, a medical log, and more. And the best part, we're making it available to you for free. For a limited time, though, when you go to mommylabornurse.com/planner. Are you ready to stress less and rest assured you haven't forgotten a thing? Let's do this, mama. Head on over to mommylabornurse.com/planner right now to get your free pregnancy planner before the offer ends on Saturday, March 9th. That's mommylabornurse.com/planner to start feeling more organized and in control today. You're listening to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast, where you'll gain the tools, knowledge, and confidence you need to erase the unknowns, feel in control, and have an even better birth, no matter how you deliver. My name is Liesl Teen, mom of two, practicing labor and delivery nurse, and your host. From over 8 years and counting of working at the bedside, I know that knowledge is the key to an even better birth. So tune in each week to learn about all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum from me, a labor and delivery nurse that's seen it all. And now let's get into this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast. I'm your host, mom of two and practicing L&D nurse, Liesl. And today on the show, we are talking all about postpartum, but not necessarily just, you know, it's kind of broad, right? But we're talking about some of the weird stuff that happens after you have a baby. Because there are some aspects of postpartum recovery that you're probably ready for, right? Just the bleeding, being tired, kept feeding your baby, right? Like boobs, all of that stuff, the soreness. But there are actually some pretty weird, strange out there postpartum symptoms that until you experience them, you're like, what? That's at least what happened to me. So for this episode, I put together a list of strange, spooky, odd, weird postpartum symptoms for you to be on the lookout for. Or just, you know, to reference, should you find yourself suddenly chilled, sweating buckets, or anything else in between. Spoiler alert, those are a couple of the ones that I wrote down. And after this episode, you can keep learning about postpartum in episode 113, Postpartum Nutrition and Wellness, and episode 74. It's called Seriously, Why is Postpartum So Hard? Because seriously, why is it so hard? But for now, let's get into those strange postpartum symptoms. I have some strange symptoms that you may have. Okay, not everybody has all of these at once, but you may have after you have a baby, in addition to the not strange stuff, right? That we talked about, bleeding, your boobs making milk, right? The soreness, that kind of stuff. But these are more of the oddballs that we're going to be talking about today. Number one is the postpartum chills. Yeah, it's weird. You get chilly. I had a baby in February. Well, my first baby was born in February. I had a baby in February. I also had a baby in August. Okay. Both times I got the chills afterwards. And I remember being just all bundled up in my little blanket and my, you know, my socks and just, I was freezing. And this can happen because of a few reasons, but number one, the amount of blood loss that you experience might be to blame because the blood that is in your body right now circulating in your veins is warm, right? 98.6, hopefully, unless you have a fever. But that is one way that your body maintains its core temperature is that you got all this blood and it's circulating, right? But when you lose a substantial, you know, a big chunk of blood, even if you have a whole lot still, but if you lose a big portion, you have a decrease in your entire systemic circulation, which can result in a little bit of a decrease in your body temperature, in your core body temperature. So that can lead you to feeling a little chilly because your circulation just isn't as great as it was pre-delivery. Now, our bodies do a pretty good job of making extra blood during pregnancy in anticipation for this blood loss. But even with that, you're still losing some, and some moms lose more than others, right? If you have a hemorrhage, I would be on extra lookout for being extra chilly and cold. But blood loss is still blood loss, right? And even with this additional blood that your body has stored during pregnancy, many women are still symptomatic and have these chills. So be on the lookout for the chills. Number two, total opposite, but number two are the night sweats. Okay. On the total opposite side, you might be like sweating buckets, and especially while you sleep, it kind of sucks. I know I've had night sweats before. Well, hate it. Not even just after having babies, but had it after I had babies, but also just in life, I've had night sweats and they suck. But again, this has to do with the amount of blood that is circulating through your body. Your body makes this extra blood and fluid during your pregnancy. And once you have that baby, you lost some of it, right? At delivery, you lost a little bit of blood, but you still have a good bit left, especially fluid, you know, just like systemic fluid in your body. And that extra liquid has to go somewhere. Some of it, like I said, you'll lose at delivery, but the rest is going to come out as either urine or sweat. It's got to come out somehow. And your body's sudden drop in estrogen right after delivery is also to blame in, again, sweating profusely, hot flashes, all of that. When you're low in estrogen, that can cause these symptoms to happen. Also, if you go in, let's say you have a C-section, or if you have an induction, you get an epidural, you get some excess IV fluids during delivery, this can compound this problem even more. You got loaded up with fluids for a good reason. We give you fluids for a good reason, but you got loaded up with extra fluids, so it's got to eventually come out. So you're going to be peeing and you might be sweating a whole lot too. And don't be surprised also, especially if you come in, you have surgery or you get extra IV fluids, don't be surprised if your feet are, I know they might be swollen during your pregnancy, especially if you have the baby in the summertime, but don't be surprised if your feet are actually a little, or your legs, you know, your lower extremities are actually a little bit more puffy than they even were before you came into the hospital because of that extra fluid. It just kind of pools, you know, in your feet and in your calves. Now that, along with the night sweats and just this extra fluid, it usually resolves itself in about a week. Most women see that, you know, they're like balloon feet if they're going to get balloon feet, but then it goes away pretty quick. Okay. Within a week of delivering, you're like, oh, there are my feet again. And oh, I'm not having night sweats anymore. But unfortunately, the night sweats, not so fun and also strange.
All right. The sound of that heartbeat means it's time for this week's segment of Birth It Up Babies. This one says, hey, Liesl, I just wanted to say thank you now that I have my baby. I had a C-section on the 17th and I had such a great experience. My regular scheduled anxiety didn't even show up that day. Bye. It was gone. It didn't come into the OR. Awesome. She said, I was super calm and really surprised myself. And I definitely think that is due in part to the C-section class. Thank you, with a little heart emoji. Oh, I love it. See, I just, even if it's something short, you know, short little message, like if you've taken my birth class, we read them all. It's love them. And if you want to have an even better birth, just like this mama, head on over to mommylabornurse.com/courses to learn more about our three online on-demand birth classes.
Number three, postpartum heart palpitations. Yeah, we're just feeling like your heart is beating a little bit at a higher rate. Tachycardia, we call it in the medical field. But this also has to do with your circulation, right? We just lost some blood. We lost some circulation. So our heart has to beat a little bit faster to keep our blood pressure to not bottom out. And a lot of times women report feeling this, being symptomatic, okay? It's one thing to just have tachycardia and not really feel it's happening, but a lot of women are like, oh, I feel my heart pounding a little bit. It's usually more noticeable if you're changing positions, you're going from sitting to standing, or if you're changing temperatures quickly, like you're getting out of a hot shower. So just recognize that. You might feel you're like your heart's racing a little bit more right after you have a baby.
Now, very important, if you have lightheadedness or you have dizziness along with this, you see spots or anything, take a break, sit down. I don't want you passing out. While this is common, okay, it is common to get a little lightheaded and dizzy, it is important to bring this up to your provider. So this is a podcast. We don't give medical advice on here, right? But we don't want you to be all crazy symptomatic. But if your heart is beating a little bit faster, just know that it's probably due to that blood loss and that fluid shift that you had after delivery. Number four, next weirdo symptom that we are having. This one isn't as, most people are aware of this now, but it's weird in the sense that it has nothing to do with your bleeding or anything going on down there. But number four is postpartum hair loss. Yeah, bum, bum, bum. All right. And let me explain this one a little bit better, because usually when I explain it, people are like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It doesn't make it suck any less, but it makes sense. So when you're pregnant, you might have realized that your hair usually just changes a little bit. Texture kind of changes a little bit. It might grow a little bit faster, or it just kind of falls out a little bit less. And this isn't just on your head. A lot of people see this, you know, in their leg hair, their pubic hair, like it just everywhere. The hair growth cycle is shifted a bit when you're pregnant. And this is due to the dramatic increase in progesterone that you have during pregnancy. And that progesterone extends the growth phase cycle of your hair, which causes these changes. It just causes your body to hang on to those hairs a lot longer than they usually would have. But once you deliver, your hair cycle regresses, okay? Because your hormones shift once again, and all this hair that your body was hanging on to during your pregnancy start to come out. And usually this doesn't happen immediately, okay? It's not like you push a baby out and then you go bald. But for most women, this is usually about 2, 3, 4 months postpartum. It depends, obviously, if you're breastfeeding, it can be a little bit different because you have a little bit of a different hormonal shift or changes. You know, your hormones are just doing a little bit different things when you're breastfeeding versus if you're formula feeding. But even if you're breastfeeding, I do often hear that it's about that 3 to 4 month mark when moms start to notice that their hair is starting to come out pretty fast and significant and like in clumps even sometimes. It's dramatic. I remember when I was, well, both times, but after I had Walter, I didn't have to clean the shower drain out very often when I was pregnant. But then like a few months after I had Walter, it was like, oh my God, give me some Drano. Like I'm having to do this like every other week, it seems like. You know, when you unclog a drain, it's like you don't have to do that very often. But it was seeming like I was having to do that way more often because I was just losing a lot of hair, like in the shower, right? And then I'm brushing my hair. It's like, oh my God, there's so much hair on my brush. Why? So it can be quite dramatic, but know that it is normal and we can blame those doggone hormones like we can blame everything else on. The next symptom we are talking about is smell. Yeah, I know. It's okay. We can talk about it. But you're going to be bleeding, right? We know that. But sometimes when you're bleeding, it's a little bit smellier than it was ever in your life. I don't want it to be rotting flesh smell, like horrible, awful, like you're throwing up, right? That's an infection. We want to make sure we tell our provider about this. But if you're just a little stinkier down there when you are changing your pad or doing whatever, right? If you're just like noticing that you're a little bit stinkier down there or even in your armpits, right? That is normal. That happens. You're just poor us. Like our hair's falling out. We stink. We're supposed to be goddesses. We just had babies, but we freaking stink. But it's fine. It's okay. It's normal. And there's not a whole lot you can do to remedy this. We can blame a lot of it on, guess what? Hormones, right? And it also might not be that you just smell worse, like other people smell you, but it might just be that your nose smells your body better. Okay. So that might make you think that you smell worse. So really the only thing you can do to help this is frequent hygiene, right? Change your pad frequently, right? And take showers, deodorant, but it's part of the process of having a baby. You get kind of stinky afterwards. It's okay. All right. Next one. We're still down there. But next one is constipation. Yeah.
This is kind of a depressing episode. It's okay, though. It's fine. This is stuff that all happens, and you got a beautiful little baby out of it. But unfortunately, there are some weirdo things that happen after you have a baby. But yes, the next one is postpartum constipation. You might have heard horror stories about that first poop. I just did a post the other day about it. But it is true that it can be very painful and difficult for some women to poop after they have a baby for the first time. There are some things that you can do to make it easier. My favorite tip is to take that Colace, those stool softeners, and don't just think that you can do it without them. Just take that Colace that your nurse gives you in the hospital and take it around the clock. Make sure that poop is nice and soft when it comes out, because we don't want it to be hard. We don't want it to be hard. It's going to be a little bit worse if it's hard. So take that Colace. Another tip is to just give yourself enough time and try not to strain on the toilet. Don't feel like you have to rush that poop. Just sit there, let it come out. It will eventually come out, but it might be rather large and you might even sweat a little bit. It might be rough, but take that Colace. Give yourself enough time. Another good one is to stay nice and hydrated, right? The more water that you can drink, the better. And staying nourished with food, right? A big reason why this happens is, number one, hormones, right? The hormonal shift. But number two, you might have kind of shifted your eating and sleeping schedule quite dramatically when you had this baby, right? Let's say you come in for an induction that lasts a couple of days and you're kind of all like off. You're not sleeping like you normally would. You're not eating like you normally would. So your body just kind of goes into that like fight or flight mode and shuts off those bowels so we can get this baby out. And then we will eventually turn them back on, right? But your eating patterns are different. Your drinking patterns might be different. So the quicker you can start drinking a lot of fluid, right, and getting back to that regular eating schedule, the better it is going to be for your bowels. And then a last tip for this is get yourself some glycerin suppositories and just have them on hand just in case you need them, because that usually just does the trick, okay? And if you want to do a glycerin suppository from the get-go, you don't mind sticking stuff up your butt. Go ahead. That's fine. That's fine. But they do work. Okay. Just oiling it up in there can really help it come out. So get yourself some glycerin suppositories. Take it from me, because I remember this experience very well, being in the car, having to go get my glycerin suppositories when I needed them. Is not a fun experience. So just order them on Amazon in your next Amazon order. Just have them so you don't have to even worry about getting them. You just have them in your house if you need them. But yes, constipation. That is one of the weirdo, yucky symptoms that you'll have after having a baby, likely. But like I said, there are a lot of things that we can do to remedy it. And this next one is, we're still down there. Are we going head to toe? Let me look at my other ones. Oh, the last one is systemic. Okay. We're kind of going head to toe, but the next one is rectal pain or perineal pain. We know that you're going to be sore, but sometimes you can have this rectal pain that kind of takes you by surprise. And this might be due to a few things. Number one, hemorrhoids. Okay. You might have hemorrhoids during your pregnancy already, but they are pretty common to get after having a baby, after having a vaginal delivery. That's just like a swollen, inflamed vein in your rectum. Sometimes they're interior, sometimes they are exterior, but that can leave you with some pain, some rectal pain. Sometimes they're itchy. Sometimes they even bleed a little bit. You want to do some Tux pads. We already talked about stool softeners, preparation H, right? Do all of that. Those can help those hemorrhoids. But aside from that sort of rectal pain, another type of rectal pain that you might experience that I also personally had can be due to your organs shifting back. You were just pregnant. You had this large baby in there and then it's not in there anymore. So your organs are like, what just happened? But let's try and get back to our homes. And sometimes as that's happening, it can cause you to have like an intense, almost like a lightning crotch, but in your butthole. I'm sorry. But it doesn't last very long, but it can happen. So just be aware of it. It might just kind of take you by surprise. It's like lightning crotch, but in your butthole. I should do a post on that. But the best thing to avoid this is to avoid being constipated. Okay. They kind of go hand in hand, because the more constipated you are down there, the more likely you are to experience those, like a big twinge of rectal pain. But yes, rectal pain can certainly happen. We're still in the butt. I have two more tips. We're still in the butt. But gas bubbles, well, I guess gas bubbles are kind of, they come from your butt, but the pain you'll experience is usually up higher, right, on your body. And this is more common if you have a C-section, but gas pain is quite common, regardless if you have a C-section or a vaginal delivery too. If you've ever had gas pain, like after you've had surgery, true air trapped gas pain, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. These bubbles, they travel up your chest and they actually can give you so much discomfort, or they can cause people to freak out a little bit because it feels like you're having a freaking heart attack, but they're short-lived. And once they go away, if they're truly trapped air, like from surgery, right? Once they go away, they don't come back. And GASX, along with the colace, everything, right, that we've talked about, GASX can really help to break up some of that air and make these gas pains a lot less intense. But yes, gas bubbles, gas pain, bleh, not fun. All right, this last symptom is itchiness. Yeah, I know. Nobody likes to feel itchy down there. You might have had some itchiness all over your body during pregnancy. Some people get pups or cholestasis, or some people just get dry skin. But nobody likes to feel itchy, but especially nobody likes to feel itchy down there in your vagina. No, thank you. Especially after just pushing this baby out. But I'll explain the reason for this. If you've had a vaginal tear, perineal tear from birth, which are very common, especially if you're a first-time mom, your doctor, your midwife, whoever may have stitched you up with some dissolvable stitches. It's not like you have to go and get them taken out. They dissolve. But these stitches do take some time to completely dissolve. As they are dissolving, you might feel a little bit of itchiness down there. It's almost as those stitches are just like the last little bit of it is kind of going away. It can kind of rub oddly and cause it to itch. Now, this is important to bring up to your provider, especially if it's accompanied by vaginal discharge, because we don't want to be having a yeast infection, right? It's not that kind of itchiness. So if you are having discharge, make sure you bring up this itchiness and discharge to your provider. But if we're just having a bit of itchiness, know that it's probably just those sutures, those stitches kind of dissolving. And it's short-lived, usually goes away. I noticed mine, honestly, later, like 5-6 weeks. I remember going to my 6-week appointment and being like, what was this? Like, I just had this. And my provider was like, oh, and she explained that to me. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Okay. So it can take a few weeks for you to experience this itchiness from your sutures if you're going to experience it. And that's it. Those are all the weirdo symptoms that I have today to talk to you about. I'm sorry for the depressing episode, but hey, it's okay. That's why we put content like this out, because I want to be real with you guys. I want to explain what's going on and help you to understand so you feel a little bit more prepared and not like you just got hit in the face by something crazy. Because oftentimes people feel like this during birth and after birth. And if I can help you not feel like that in any way, shape, or form, I will. Next week on the podcast, I'm doing another solo episode. We are talking about unmedicated birth, and I'm going to give you 10 tips to have the unmedicated birth of your dreams. It's a great episode. I just recorded it, actually, and it was fun to record. But stay tuned to next week, and I'll see you then.
Already feeling a little more confident about pregnancy, birth, and newborn life? Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you can continue to erase the unknowns and never miss an episode. And if you're looking for even more, Instagram is definitely where I hang out the most. Come join our community of more than 500,000 moms for birth education, tips, and solidarity. You can find me at mommy.labornurse. Check out today's show notes and a searchable library of every Mommy Labor Nurse podcast episode at mommylabornurse.com/podcast. And while you're there, be sure to head to the blog to learn about our online birth classes too. See you next week. And remember, you can have an even better birth no matter how you deliver.